Blog Talk Radio.
The First Epistle General of John. 1 John 1.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. Brothers, I welcome. Thank you for listening tonight. If you got the text, the email, or if you listened on the Facebook link, again, welcome. And I pray there's something to be said today that will encourage you. All right? For the month of July, we're here in July 2021, and we're moving forward, continuing to just send out words of encouragement in these episodes of Issues Christian Men's Talk. Also, we also encourage you to share these with your brothers and in your circle of influence, and just to say the word of encouragement as we continue just to reach out to men, to encourage men, that as husbands and fathers and sons, that we can fulfill our responsibilities as leaders in the home, in the church, and in the community, and strengthen one another in our local fellowships. Again, as we here in Maryland locally, for the brothers that are here locally in the Maryland, D.C. area, you know, it's July the 1st, and we lifted all restrictions. Churches are up to 100% capacity. And so we encourage you to connect, get back into your local church, get back into your local ministries. And unfortunately, you know, some ministries have not come back or not gathering again. But I encourage you to find a local ministry, find a fellowship of the saints to be able to connect with, now that we can go back to face-to-face, be in the buildings, praise and worship together, encourage one another, and just connect again physically. Amen. Also, we got a lot of men's events coming up in July. If you go on our Facebook page at Issues Christian Men's Talk, there's a posting for a lot of men's conferences coming up, men's events, men's Bible studies. We have men's fellowships. Also, today is the first week of July, but I know those who are here locally in the Baltimore, D.C. area, we are having a men's gathering on July 16th at 7 p.m. That's a Friday, July 16th at 7 p.m. Details and information and location will be sent out to you in a text, or you can reach out to us on Facebook. We'll post it there as soon as we confirm the location. But we know that it's going to be on the 16th of July at 7 p.m. Amen. So mark your calendar, save the date, you know, whatever you want to do, and come in fellowship. I'll be there. Some other brothers will be there. And it's being sponsored by Jesus Lives Ministry in Hanover, Maryland. We're just locking down the location, and we're going to send that information out to you in a text, or you can reach out, again, on the Facebook page, and you'll see it posted there. Or go to the Jesus Lives Facebook page. It's Jesus Lives Ministry Fellowship Facebook page. It'll be posted there also. Amen. Well, we're going to open with prayer right now, and then we're going to get into our conversation, and we're going to touch on a few things. But again, for the month of July, we're going to be talking about a servant of Christ, being a servant of Christ in our daily walk, who we are, what we're called to be as men of God, as believers in Christ. Amen. But let us pray. Father God, I just say, first of all, I just say thank you. I say thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for all that you've done and all that you're doing in the lives of men and my brothers, oh God, that are listening on this line. Father, I thank you for what you've done in my life, oh God. I thank you for what you've done in my marriage. I thank you for what you've done in the marriages of the brothers that are listening, that their marriage relationships will be strengthened and be healed and be drawn closer one to another, oh God. Father, we thank you, God, for every man, every husband, father, and son, oh God, that they will ever stand and fulfill their purpose and plan for that you have for their life, that they will lead their families, oh God, lead in their homes, God, lead in their communities, oh God. We ask for strengthen them today, Lord God. But, Father, now we lift up that brother who's struggling right now, God, who's struggling in his body, struggling in his finances, struggling in his mind, struggling in his emotions, struggling with his faith, oh God. That brother who may have drifted, oh God, even in the midst of the pandemic, drifted in his fellowship, drifted in his faith, Lord God, that his faith might have been tested, God, because of the challenges of life, God. So we ask today that you would strengthen them. Stir up the spirit that lives within them, oh God. Father, bring them back, oh God. Bring them back into a right alignment with you and a right obedience to you, Lord God. And I pray right now for that brother that he would take a moment, he would reach out to someone, reach out and call someone. And for brothers out there, reach out for those men that you have not seen in a while and haven't talked to physically, and be able to hug and touch them, reach out today, oh God. But we, God, we know that your spirit is living within each of them, so we ask that you stir it up in them, oh God, that they would reach out, that we would gather back together to encourage one another, God. Father, we would continue to pray for those who are sick and shut in, God. We continue to pray for those brothers locked up behind bars, oh God. We pray for those in nursing homes, oh God. We pray for those, oh God, who sit by the bedside of family members, oh God, that are in illness, oh God, that their days have been numbered, oh God, that the doctors have given them not much longer to live. Though we ask a blessing there, even in the midst of that, Lord God, that their faith, oh God, that they will hear a minister, the gospel we minister to them, oh God, that they might choose you as Lord and Savior, God. So, Father, comfort those at the bedside. Hear their prayers today, oh God. And, Father, we keep everyone in prayer, the pastors, elders, and deacons, those in leadership in the government, those in leadership in the community, oh God, we keep them in prayer. Give them wisdom and discernment. Even in the midst of all that's going on, oh God, in this cruel and cold and evil world, we ask, oh God, your guidance, your wisdom, and your discernment. Strengthen us and keep us, oh God. And, Father, we pray. We pray that your church, oh God, would rise up and find its purpose, oh God, that they would glorify you and spread your word. And this is our prayer tonight in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen. All right, brothers. Well, we're here again. This is Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. And this episode for tonight, we're going to be talking about being a servant to Christ. And for the month of July, we're going to talk about servanthood, servant leadership, and who we are in Christ, that we're called to be as we mature and grow in the things of God and mature and grow in understanding of God and in the application of it, and how we ought to be as men of God, that we can set the example. Again, in our first, in our homes, then in the church, and then in the community. Because God has called men to lead and guide and direct and be the leadership. Amen? Amen. But let me begin and open up for the month of July. I'm going to continue that we can put definition to terms so we're all on the same page and we understand what we're talking about. As a Christian man, as a man of God, a believer of God, we are those who have responded to the conviction of the Holy Spirit by putting our whole faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ for salvation. Christian men are those who have repented from their sins and have made Jesus Christ Lord of their lives. They are born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I give you scriptures that for you to search and meditate on. We have Romans 10, 9 and 8, Acts 2 and 38, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, And that just gives you a little places to start as we search out and define what it means to be a man of God, to be a Christian. Amen? And also, we want to also define the terms what sin is. I know we have sin is some, first of all, it's not something that's really taught and discussed, but there's also misconceptions and people want to just write a whole checklist of what you should and shouldn't be doing as a Christian. But I want to give a simple term that we all, because when we're talking about sin and disobedience, we all coming from the same page, our foundation. So our launching pad, sin is, amen, sin is any thought, word, or action that is contrary to the character or law of God. That's it. Any thought, word or action that is contrary to the character or law of God. That is what sin is. So every man, we can search ourselves. That's the chalk mark. I mean, there's other studies you can do when looking at sin in the Word of God, but for what we talk about here, Issues Christian Men's Talk, that is our definition of a man of God and of what sin is. So I pray that that helps someone and get them to a place where they can start to look into the mirror, see who they are, see what they're doing, what their thought process is, their actions are, and start to purge themselves and repent from those things and ask for forgiveness. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, well, we're going to move forward. Moving forward. Again, tonight, in this episode, I'm sorry, because you may be listening to different times of the day, but in this episode, we're going to be talking about be a servant of Christ. What does that mean? Amen. So in the Bible, we know that the Bible in the New Testament is also a Greek translation. So servant is translated in the Greek as doulos, which literally means servant or bondservant, someone who is set aside or rights of his own to serve another. And that's who we are in Christ. We've set aside our rights. We have surrendered unto God, and Jesus Christ is our Lord because he was sent to set us free to pay the price for our sin, and because of what he's done, we are now submitted unto him as our Lord and our Savior, because he saved us from the wrath of God that is to come, that we always stand before God, and we will not want to stand there in our own without Christ and be able to, because none of us will survive the wrath of God. We'll be set to hell in eternity, and Jesus came to save us from that wrath. Amen? Amen. So even as you search Scripture and you look up what the bondservant or servant or slave, it translates to the same thing. I know here in America, and especially in African American culture, we hear slave, and it's some negative feelings and thoughts about that. But again, I want to talk about how the Scripture was written when it talked about slaves. Because even in my research, I learned that in the Bible translators, they removed it. They on purpose because of the negative perception that comes along with the word slave, even before America, that it was changed because, you know, people were sensitive to that. But that's what it was meaning. That's what Christ calls us to be if we would really think about how Scripture teaches us who we are in Christ and who Christ is and who we are as we are. If he is truly our Lord and we are obedient to him and live obedient to what he has called us to do. Amen? Amen. So, as Lord, he brought us at a high price. We look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 12. 1 Corinthians 6, 12, excuse me, 6 and 20, 6 and 20. And I say, read that there. It says, for we were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in our bodies and in your spirit, which are God's. We are owned by God. Christ who owns us. He's paid the price with his blood, with his life. And knowing that God accepted his sacrifice because he did raise him from the dead. So his sacrifice was acceptable to God to pay the price for our sins, and now he's paid that price that we are his servants. For those who come to know him desire to abandon all rights to him and choose to serve him faithfully. And that's what we're called to do as men of God. We're called to serve him faithfully. We're called to submit unto Christ. I know that some may know that some may not have heard it before, but I encourage you to search Scripture. Study the Scripture. I have a couple of Scriptures here I want to give you so that you can go and do a deep dive and understand who Christ is if you do not. Or if you had, you know, doubts, or if something that you never heard this before, that we are Christ, the slaves to Christ. We are bond servants because we love him because of what he's done for us, because he set us again. He had made us a way of escape from the wrath of God. A servant of Christ is one who has voluntarily set aside his personal rights in order to love, serve, and obey the will of God in Christ Jesus. Servants of Christ die daily to sin and fleshly desires, allowing Christ's life to flow through us. His life is through us. We are ambassadors to him, people who see Christ in us. But first, the people most close to us, our family members, those in our circle of influence, they see who we were before, that we are no longer that person, but they start to see Christ in us. And that's what we're called to be as men of God, because we set the example, we set the tone, and we also can set the pace of what it means to be a Christian. And, you know, we have to be an example. In a living example, the Bible speaks of being a living epistle. And that's what we're called to be as men of God, and to stand before, stand in, and stand out different from this culture, different from what the world, and different in every area of our life that people see us. Let's go. I'm going to give you, go to Scripture, Galatians chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. And the word says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And because of that, now we are his servants. We are called to serve Christ. And as a servant, as a bond servant, we are called to be obedient to his word and to his will as we're being guided by the Holy Spirit. So, man of God, every man of God, I just want to encourage you. To be a servant of Christ is to seek his will in all things. Our primary desire every day. Every day, a new opportunity. Every day, a new opportunity. A new day, a new opportunity. You know, that's one of my sayings that I always start my prayer day with, and encourage the brothers around me. Every day is a new opportunity. Amen? As servants of Christ, we are to honor and glorify the one who brought our freedom. Again, he paid the price with his life and with his shed blood. This means we must die of ourselves, renounce our own rights, our own right to direct our lives, that we, again, it's not our lives. We are being obedient to him and live out our lives as God purposed and called us to be as men of God. Because remember, God has a purpose and plan for all of his sons, all of those who've come to faith in Christ. He has a purpose and a plan for each of our lives, and the only way we can do that is to live by obedience, to study his word, to submit to the Holy Spirit, and in prayer, that he can speak to our hearts and minds and guide and direct us. Amen? And seeks ways to bring the master pleasure. Just as the master in ancient times is a responsibility, we're responsible. He's responsible to care for us as his servants. You know, because if we look back in history, because the Roman Empire because there was slavery. Let me say this, brothers, because the slavery thing is an issue because we're here in America. We have a different perspective, but slave master had a responsibility to care for the slaves and provide certain things for them. Now, we know about abuses because man is sinful, but in general, if we look at the history, you know, the slaves were valued, let's put it that way. So there was some things that were provided. We can go into the whole thing about chattel slavery here in America, and you can't compare it to the slavery that was talked about in the Roman Empire in the time of the New Testament, but Paul was making... He was giving him a metaphor and making an example of who we are in Christ, that Christ is our master, and that we are to be obedient to him and to please him, and then he will provide for us, because God will provide for those who serve him faithfully and for the faithful ones. Amen? Amen. The Lord says he will provide all our needs when we seek him first, his kingdom and his righteousness. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33, Philippians 4 and 19. Again, I encourage you to go for a deep dive, deep study of those words, to pray, to study, to believe, and to apply. Amen? Amen. So our Master Jesus Christ has given us instructions in his word. He expects us who profess to be Christians, again, this is something we profess to be because we believe, and by faith we are saved. Not by works, but by faith in Christ, we are saved. And the more we learn, the better servants we come. The more we study, the more we spend time in him in prayer, the more we submit to the Holy Spirit, the more we know his word and apply his word first to our lives, and then fulfill the promises and the directions and the guidance he gives us. As servants of Christ, we are to put into practice all that we learn that will please him, our Lord. We are called to serve him and to please the Lord, that we will stand before him one day and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, or depart from me, I never knew you, because of our disobedience. So today, brothers, we must choose. We each have a specific job that we have to do according to our gift and our abilities, because he has provided these things in us, not talents, gifts and abilities for the enhancement and for the furtherment of the kingdom and for his church. And for all the one and others in the body of Christ. There's a purpose for your life. God has saved you. He created you for purpose, and he saved you so that purpose can be used to glorify him and to advance his church and for us to support each other as the body of Christ. So the requirements are universal, and anyone called to be a servant of Christ is called to continue in the faith and continue to live obedient and grow in the faith, grow in your understanding, grow in who you are in Christ and how God can use you. Because remember, we're all going to be used at different seasons of our lives, you know, because no one is, you know, wherever you start at when you first come to Christ, come to faith in Christ, and God's going to use you as you grow, as you mature, as you're in the body at different seasons of life, just as we have different seasons in our life in the natural, in the temple world, even with our families as we, you know, we're young fathers. And as our kids get older, we provide different things for them as they get older to help. And then at some point, we start to mature them into adults so they can become part of and productive part of the community and in the culture. And then also we plant the seed of the gospel by how we live and how we mentor, train, and disciple them. That this next generation of Christians are coming up, and we have that responsibility as fathers. So there's a call on all of our lives, brothers. I just wanted to take some time here and to encourage you in the midst of this episode and this conversation, and hopefully that something was said today that would encourage you. Amen? Amen. Now, I give you opportunity. You can also listen. You can listen to this again. You have the link. I'm sorry. You have the link. But you also can go to Facebook page on Issues Christian Men's Talk on Facebook. Also on Twitter, you can listen to there. You can share it there. You can share it on Facebook. And you also can send this, the link, text it to someone. Text it to a brother you know. Text it to those in your circle of influence. Text it to someone you're trying to reach for Christ. Hopefully something was said today to encourage someone in their faith walk. Because, again, as we start to come back together, we know some brothers might have drifted and just need a word to hear a word of encouragement. I want to close with this, some things we have to understand as servants of Christ. We are called to continue in the faith. We're called to destroy every argument and every lofty opinion against the knowledge of God. Take every thought into captivity to obey Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Pursue holy living. 1 Peter 1:14-16. Daily crucify the lust of the flesh. Daily crucify the lust of the flesh. Romans 6:1-6. Love the brothers in the faith. Church membership. Being part of a body. Loving one another. Loving the brothers in the faith. 1 John 3:14-15. Store of the treasures in heaven. The things that we do for Christ is going to last. You know, I know most of you heard it before, all the stuff that we live, but remember, when we stand before God, when we stand before Christ, we're going to stand there naked. And the life that we lived and how obedient we was, again, are we going to hear good and faithful servant, or depart from me, I never knew you. So we're storing up treasures in heaven. Matthew 6:19-20. And eagerly awaiting Christ's return, knowing that all that's going on, no matter what it is, you know, we just went through the last 2 years of a lot of things going on, but yet Christ has not come back, but we know and we are anticipating him coming back, so we're eager to see him return, because then we, as believers, will be raptured out. Again, eagerly awaiting Christ's return, Revelation 22:20, and 2 Peter 4:8. Amen? So, as servants of Christ, I'm going to do our work humbly and selfishly, designed only to please the Lord. There's no pretense, no self-importance, no compensation seeking as a true servant. You know, we don't do things for, you know, to get paid, get recognized, get pat on the back for advancement. We're doing it out of obedience. Again, we're storing up treasures in heaven. So Jesus reminds us of the lowly place the servant occupied, and he says in Luke 17:10, you also, when you have done all you are commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done this, done what was our duty. Again, that's Luke 17 and 10. So, brothers, just want to consider, as servants of Christ, consider our lives on earth as a brief time in preparation for eternity. Again, our goal is heaven, to spend eternity with him. And we live our life here on Christ, on this earth, in this temple plane, to live life that is pleasing to him. So I encourage every one of you, brothers, take time, reflect on the scriptures I've given you, reflect on what I've said tonight, and hopefully someone will be encouraged. And then to stir up the gifts within you, to stir up the spirit within you. Because any hardships and struggles you may have faced while in this flesh is no match for the glory. It's no match for the glory of spending eternity with Christ, and we have to get our minds and our hearts focused on that fact. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. So as a servant who loves our Master and our Lord Jesus Christ, we serve Christ, and we live for the moment he will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Master. So, brothers, I encourage you now. Search your hearts, search your minds. Again, it is a Christian Men's Talk. We don't compare ourselves to each other. We compare ourselves and set our standard by the Word of God. So I encourage you to seek out the Word, to pray, to seek God, and also in fellowship. Our pastors are laboring, those who are laboring to study and teach and disciple you, we have to submit to that because that's going to help us grow. Help us grow and refine our purpose and fulfill our purpose that God has us as a complete body and as an individual. So I encourage you, brothers, again, if your church, if for whatever reason your church is not gathering or not coming back or, you know, it just dissolved or transitioned is the word I guess we use now, find another fellowship, connect with another fellowship that you can be used in the midst. Because, again, our salvation is not only about us and our soul, but there is someone who's only going to hear the gospel and be encouraged by you and your testimony. So, brothers, this is Deacon Thomas Farr. I thank you. I thank you for listening. And, again, I encourage you to take time out and consider and share this and consider the words that I spoke to you and know that, again, you know, I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you. And God bless you. And hopefully we'll see you all soon. Again, Jesus Lives Ministry and Fellowship, July the 16th. Those details will be coming very soon. It's next in a few days after you receive this text, this link, we'll be sending that information out. So I want to encourage you there to save that date, July the 16th, 7 p.m. The brothers will be gathering. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening.